Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you that we can be here together to celebrate your resurrection, to celebrate what you've done for each one of us. And we just want to be here this morning to learn from you, and I pray that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. We thank you for bringing us together once again and just guide us this morning. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to start off with a little bit of a story. On June 22, in 1969, in the town of Cleveland, Ohio, there was an emergency. Somebody called 911 to report a fire. And this fire was a little bit unique. Several months ago, my in-laws, the Glicks, got home to realize that their neighbor's barn, was on fire. But in 1969, this was not a barn that was on fire. This was something else. It was probably several years ago, we woke up in the middle of the night to have all our fire alarms going off, just screaming in our ears. We got up and we turned them off. We checked the house to see if there was a fire. There thankfully was not. It's a pretty scary thing. You probably all thought of the what would happen if our house would be on fire. But in 1969, this was not a house fire. Back in the year 2020, 4 years ago, we had the worst wildfire season out in Oregon, where I'm from, the worst wildfire season probably ever. Thousands of acres were burned, whole towns burnt down. It was terrible. But in 1969, it was not a brush fire or a wildfire or a bonfire. It was something else. It was actually the Cuyahoga River that was on fire. The Cuyahoga River flows through Cleveland, Ohio. It's a fairly good-sized river. It flows right through the middle of the city. The river itself was on fire. This was not a boat on the river that had caught fire. This was not a bridge over the river that had caught fire. The river itself had actually started on fire and was burning. Now, I'll talk a little bit about rivers. Rivers are a source of life for the communities that are built around them. And this is the way it's been throughout history. If you look back at ancient civilizations, look at the Egyptian civilization built along the Nile, the Babylonian civilization built along the Euphrates. Even like here in America, if you look at most big towns, they're built along rivers. Rivers provide irrigation, provide water for growing food. They provide drinking water. They provide a source of transportation. They provide all kinds of things to the communities built around them. There's a good reason that civilizations, historically and both back then and now, are built around rivers. But the people of Cleveland had not took care of their river. They had not given the river the respect that it was due. And they had neglected, and they had polluted their river. Over time, they had dumped oil waste, they had dumped sewage, other kinds of waste into the river. And as time went on, the river became more and more polluted and more dead. Until in January 22, 1969, the river caught on fire. And it was actually a pretty big deal. Things burnt down along the river. They had a whole team of people or team of firefighting equipment around the river and on the river to put out the fire. It was a bit of a catastrophe. They did a study after this fire to see what was the river like. They realized the river was very dead. This pollution had killed every living thing in the river. One study said the lower Cuyahoga has no visible signs of life, not even low forms like leeches and sludge worms that usually thrive on waste. They had killed their river. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and I'm reading out of ESV. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I want to stop there. This passage is usually taught in children's lessons, but this morning I'd like to talk about it a little bit, and because I think it applies to a lot more than just young people or young children. Here Paul is quoting the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And he said two things, well, he was just repeating the fifth commandment, and it says it's the first commandment with a promise. The promise is two things, it's twofold. The first is that they would survive, that they would live long in the land. And if you think about it, the Ten Commandments were given to a people that were leaving Egypt. They were leaving their slavery in Egypt, and they were going to the Promised Land. And God is saying, if you follow this commandment, you will be there a long time, you and your children and your grandchildren and so on. They will survive. They will be there a long time. But not only that, it says you will also, it'll also be well with you. It says they will thrive. They would thrive. They would do well in the land. They wouldn't only be there for a long time. They would be there for a long time, and they would do well. They would both survive, and they would thrive. I think God was also saying the opposite is true. If they didn't honor their father and their mother, they would not survive a long time, and they would not thrive. And here in Ephesians, Paul is re-quoting this and saying that this applies to us as well. And I think this is important. We should take note of this. We should pay attention to this. The culture around us has decided that this isn't real important anymore. And we see this all the time. We see this in many different ways. The culture around us says to question authority. It says figure it out for yourself. It says just do it. These are all common quotes. Back in the 60s, there was a popular quote that said, "Don't trust anyone over 30." Culture around us has decided that we can figure it out without our parents' help. We can pave our own path, and we don't need to regard the elders among us. Now, does this influence the church? Does this influence us? I think it can. I think it has the potential to, and I think we need to be careful of that. Now, I have I just want to have a raise of hands. How many of you have at least one of your parents still alive, still living? Probably, thank you, you can put your hands down, probably 90% or more. I don't know what it is exactly. Most of us here have at least one parent still living. So I think this applies to most of us. In fact, I think it applies to all of us, even if your parents are not living anymore. I think we can still honor them. We'll get to that later on. So I want to answer two questions this morning. Before we finish, two questions. The first question is, why should we honor our parents? Second question is, how do we honor our parents? Why do we honor our parents? How do we honor our parents? First one, why? I have 3 points. First one, point number one, God commanded us to. God commanded it. We already read the commandment in both the Ten Commandments, and here Paul is reiterating it in Ephesians. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Verse 3, he answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So the Pharisees here asked Jesus why he wasn't following one of their traditions, and he said, well, look in the mirror. You guys claim to follow God, but you're using your claim to follow God as an excuse to not really follow God. You're making void the commandments of God. And the example he used was honoring their parents. In this regard, they were taking the physical supply that they should have been giving their parents and giving it to the temple, and which was not what God commanded. God said to honor your father and your mother. And they were not doing that, and they were using a spiritual excuse to do so. And I think we need to be careful of the same thing. God doesn't like excuses, even spiritual ones, or spiritual-sounding ones, I should say. God said, honor your father and your mother, and he means it. David Berceau had a thought I thought was interesting. He said, honoring our parents is one of the Ten Commandments. It's repeated, obviously, in the New Testament as well. Being a good parent is not. Not that that's not important, and not that the Bible doesn't talk about that, but it's not one of the Ten Commandments. Yet there are many, many books written about parenting and how to be a good father or a good mother or good parents, but very few written about how to honor our parents. Interesting thought. Have we maybe missed the importance of this commandment? So why should we honor our parents? Number one, God commanded it. Number two, our parents are our elders. Here's a verse taken out of 1 Peter 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, this does not mean, I don't think, just elders as in ordained elders. I think this means the elder people in our midst. God made us social beings, and he designed our church communities to operate with somewhat of a hierarchy. He said the younger should be subject to the elder. And now, of course, our world around us wants to tear that down. They don't like that model, but that's how God designed it. And our parents, along with many other people in our communities, are older than we are, at least most of us. I'm speaking to you younger ones. And we should honor our parents because of their position in our communities. Now, I think there's other cultures that do this a lot better than our American culture, and I think sometimes taking a look at them is revealing of our own lack. I spent some time in the Middle East, and there was a lawyer that we interacted with quite a bit. He was he kind of did the paperwork and pulled the strings to allow us to be in the country, and so we were a little bit indebted to him. And occasionally he would invite us over, or several of us from our team, to go to his house or go to his village and interact with him and his friends. And he was from a village. There was many elite people from the village. Some of the people that were high ranking in the government lived there. And so he would usually invite some of his important friends over, invite his American friends, and we'd have eat at a fancy restaurant or have a good meal together or something. And we would usually go not because we were there to scratch important people's backs, but more because we wanted to do him a favor, since he was doing many favors for us. So we would go, and he could kind of show off his American friends and interact. We could interact with him and his kind of rich politician friends. But every time we would go, every time he would invite us, he would say, make sure you bring the older man with you. There was, most of our team was young people in our 20s, but there was a couple people that were, or there was actually just one person that was an older man. He was, I think, in his mid-70s, and he was a widowed man. He was just serving God there in the Middle East with our team. He was a quiet man, didn't have a lot to say, but they wanted to make sure that he would come along. And when he came, they would seat him at the head of the table with the other, with whoever else was the most important person. The time I went along, there happened to be the son or the nephew, I don't remember exactly, of the president of the the state that we lived in. So it was a pretty important person. They sat this older gentleman that was on our team right across the table from him. And they wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear what his perspective on life was. The rest of us were kind of just tag-alongs to them. He was the important person that they wanted to talk to. And I was just thinking about how different that is in our circles. It's not, I think maybe it's the case more often in our churches, but in our world, that's not the case. Usually, the older people are not viewed as the ones people want to interact with. They're kind of viewed as maybe out of date or out of touch. I think that we need to remember that our parents and the other older people among us are our elders, and God says to be subject to them. So why should we honor our parents? God commanded it. And number two, our parents are our elders. Number three, our parents are a source of wisdom. Proverbs 1, 8 through 10. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Job 12, wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. I'm not going to spend a long time on this point, but I think it's very obvious to us that our parents have been around a little longer than we have, and they have wisdom that we can receive if we're willing. So, number one, God commanded it. Number two, our parents are elders. Number three, our parents are a source of wisdom. Now, before I get on to the how do we honor our parents? I want to talk about another question that frequently comes up when we discuss this kind of thing, and that is, what happens if our parents don't act honorably? We're called to honor our parents. What if our parents aren't honorable? What do we do? And I don't know if I have very good answers on this, but I have a couple thoughts, and I'm open to other thoughts. The first thing is, the first two points that I said still apply. God still commanded it, and our parents are still our elders. Whether or not they act in a God-fearing way, whether or not they act honorably. We're not just called to honor our parents if they are perfect or ideal. I think the third one still applies too, even if we might not always think so. They probably still have wisdom that they can teach us. In fact, I'm quite sure they do. For some of us, one or both of our parents are not in our lives for one reason or another. We can still show honor to them, though, by the way we talk about them, by the way we speak about them to others. For some, our parents have asked us they've asked us to do things that go against Christ's commands. That happens. It does. In fact, Jesus said it would happen. And that's hard when that happens. And our loyalty to Christ must be first and foremost. It can't, that has to be first. And sometimes that means doing things that our parents don't approve of. That does happen. And sometimes that decision can be very difficult to make. But, and this is what I want to emphasize, let's not use that as an excuse to dishonor our parents. We can make that decision to do something different than our parents have done in as honoring a way as possible. And we can be humble, and we can explain to them when we do choose to do things differently. Okay, so now, the second question. How do we honor our parents? Again, I have 3 points. The first one is show respect. I think this is probably the most straightforward, and it's typically what we think of when we think of honoring our parents. Show respect. Leviticus 19 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." It's Leviticus 19:32, if you're taking notes. Here, I listed a few ways we can show respect to our parents. First one is obey them. Ephesians 6 makes this clear. Children, obey your parents. This is often the one that probably comes to mind first. I think this applies primarily to young children that are still in their parents' house, but I think this can apply to older ones as well. Obey them. Do it promptly. Do it diligently. Be diligent. Don't obey them grudgingly. Obey right away. Number two, be courteous of them. I think this is one that we have largely lost in our culture, or we don't have this as much in our culture. Here's an interesting quote by a Jewish rabbi. This is obviously not part of the Christian tradition, but I thought this was interesting, his commentary on Deuteronomy, on the Old Law, the Old Covenant Law. Here's the quote. Many of the practices I'm about to mention should be obvious and natural, but unfortunately, we live in a generation when people do not show proper respect to their parents nor to the elderly. It is therefore necessary to reiterate even self-evident guidelines in showing respect to parents. To begin with, we show respect and honor by not interrupting our parents or by sitting in their seats. According to Jewish law, one is required to stand when one's father or mother enters the room as an expression of honor. One must also give honor to parents when entering or exiting a room with them. As such, one should allow the father or mother to enter the room first. Our sages note that when Moses met his father-in-law, he bowed down to him. So too, we find King David called his father-in-law, King Saul, my father. One must honor his or her parents even after their deaths. For example, when mentioning parents after their deaths, one should add, may his or her memory be a blessing. One who is disrespectful of his or her parents, such as being gruff with them or speaking harshly, is cursed by God, as it is said, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. It's Deuteronomy 27:16. It's the end of the quote. I think that we should be careful. I'm not saying that we need to apply all of these traditions that he mentioned, but I think that doing some of those things can help us remember to honor our parents, and is an honorable thing to do in and of itself. Be courteous towards them. Another way to show respect is live with their values and the principles that they've given you throughout your life. Sometimes, like I mentioned before, our parents make mistakes. And sometimes we see those mistakes and we want to correct for those mistakes, and that's okay. I was talking with an older brother and he said, we parents make mistakes, but my advice is don't overreact. If you see your parents went this way a little bit, you can correct, but don't overreact and go way over here. Ask for their advice. And if you do something, I mentioned this before, if you feel like you need to do something that displeases them, talk to them about it. Explain it to them. Be humble about it. We probably won't always see things just eye to eye with our parents, but we can be humble about it. Another way to show respect is to seek to make friends with them. And not just our parents, but all of our elders that we interact with. I think it's a shame when our community has become segregated by age group. I think that we should be well integrated age-wise. And I think that some of the responsibility for that is on us young people. I've had conversations with people about this, and I think there's a point in which the young people say, well, the parents should reach out to us. After all, they're the older ones. They're the ones with all the experience. They should seek to make friends with us. But I think part of the weight is on us as well. In fact, maybe even more so. We have a responsibility to reach out and seek that wisdom and seek those relationships and friendships with the elders in our community. And be interested in them. Okay, so number one, how do we honor our parents? We show respect. Number two, we be grateful. Our parents have given us a lot of things. Even our parents that may not act honorably all the time, or may not act honorably much, they've given us a lot. And if we step back and think about it, we can choose to be grateful for them. That is a way of honoring our parents. They gave us life. They gave us the opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. At the very least, all of our parents have given us that. Most of our parents, nearly all of our parents, have provided for us in some way physically, or at least at some point in our life. They've taught us practical skills. And probably all of us can think of it. Think of things that they've taught us. They've And a lot of our parents have taught us the way of truth. We should be grateful for those things. Not just look at the shortcomings or failures of our parents. Look at the things that we can be grateful for and focus on those. So how do we show respect? We be respectful, we be grateful. And the last one is we physically provide for them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5. This is, again, a thought I got from David Berceau, and I thought it was really interesting. First of all, in skipping forward to, verse 8 talks about if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever, or I think King James says infidel. Now, typically when I've heard that in the past, I've usually it's often referred to as like a father should take care of his family, he needs to work hard and provide for them, or he's worse than an unbeliever. But look at it in context here. I don't think it's quite what Paul had in mind when he wrote this. Starting in verse 3, I'm going to read up through verse 8. Honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And it goes on and then talks more about taking care of widows and how to do it and the ones that should be enrolled and all of this different stuff. But in context here, he's talking about taking care of widows. And he's saying, if you don't take care of your widows, you're worse than an unbeliever. If you don't take care of especially those of your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever. He's talking about taking care of our elders and our parents and widows and the ones that need help. I think in our culture, we've kind of developed this mindset because of the different things, the economy that we live in and whatnot. Parents will take care of themselves. We deserve to get more stuff from our parents as they get older and especially after they die. We're going to get inheritance and all this stuff, and parents should save up retirement and figure it out for themselves. But that's not really the biblical model. And I don't think Paul would endorse that model. And I think that this whole idea of honoring our parents, especially like that passage I read in Matthew, where Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, there's a very real aspect of honoring our parents, which includes taking care of them physically. We should remember that. I don't know what that all means practically in our, in the 21st century in America. But I think that we should consider that. So that's where I'm going to leave it for now. How do we honor our parents? Be respectful, be grateful, physically provide for them. Now back to the river, the Cuyahoga River. The people of Cleveland, Ohio had not respected and honored their river. We each have rivers in the middle of our communities. There are elders. There are parents. God said that if we take care of them, if we honor them, we will thrive and we will survive. If we don't, we won't. We have a choice to make whether or not to take care of the river in our midst. Are we going to neglect or are we going to honor the river? Thank you.